Hello, I'm Tara, and we are discussing international business environment. Now, in this day and age, you cannot be discussing international business environment without discussing e-business. Considering the digital economy domestically and globally, and e-businesses have become such a vital and increasing part of our life and of global trade. So, what do we mean when we talk about e-businesses? E-businesses is IT, communications, digital, that we know in various forms. So let's see how the developments are. As far as India is concerned, the IMF estimates that India will grow at about 6.5% per annum, which is marginally lower than the RBI estimate of 7.2%. But let's say we take the World Bank's, IMF 6.5% estimate. Even with that growth, the e-business and the digital economy continues to be a very large contributor to India's growth. Post-liberalization and through our various initiatives in under our WTO membership, we have managed to leverage on and use our competitive advantage of skilled professionals, of labor, skilled, knowledgeable labor to actually become a global powerhouse when it comes to e-businesses and the digital economy. Now, we have very aggressive in the last, if you see up to FY24, we had about the IT industry was contributing about $250-260 billion to our economy, and our ambition is very aggressive. Our targets are very aggressive to grow it sooner than later to a $350 billion ITES economy. So let's see the various elements of it domestically and globally. Now, what is ICT? ICT is IT and communication technology. What are the various kinds of IT businesses which we come across in our daily life? You know, when you think of Amazon, when you think of Swiggy, when you think of the IT portal of the government for ITR filing, when you think about, you know, applying for a visa online. So, e-businesses come into our life both from a private consumption point of view, from a regulatory point of view, from a point of view of aligning governments, citizens, businesses, and of course, there are pros and cons to everything. So let's see, let's understand a little more about these e-businesses. So they are the backbone and foundation. The term e-business was coined by IBM, their marketing and internet team in 1996. At the turn of the century in 2000, we saw the dot-com boom. We also saw the dot-com bust. But barring those bubbles, if we look at the growth, then technological advancement, technological empowerment has given countries like India a very strong position and a respected position globally to be able to beat competition, to be able to increase, improve the standard of living of our population, to grow our share in international business and international trade. So, what are the various terminologies, or what largely constitutes, is not an exhaustive list, but what constitutes information, IT and communication technology. So, we would have SMSs, digital cameras, internet, customized networks, intranets, extranets. A lot of offices, companies have intranets. When you will be watching these lectures, you would be watching these lectures on your college intranet, for which only you would have access through logins, etc. So those are your customized networks, not open publicly to everyone like a YouTube. You have your Wi-Fi, wireless, GDS, convergence, data, voice, media, digital radio. Today we know, you know, Spotify, Pandora, etc. So at even at an entertainment level, even at a relaxation, recreation level, we are dealing with e-business and with the digital economy. So when we are talking about e-businesses, when we're talking about digital economy, we are not simply talking businesses at a corporate level and activities at a corporate level. Look at how in your day-to-day life, you are dealing with e-business all the time. A case in point being the video online lectures that we have been conducting for a very long time. Now, I don't know how many of you have seen the new product, which is being talked about in the market, education product called Roomber, which is a digital classroom product with very, very advanced. And, you know, in the recent IDA fair in Delhi, it is, you know, they have promoted their product a lot, and it is being talked about very heavily in terms of enabling education from school to college level to professional, colleges like engineering, medical, etc., where they are creating a system, hardware, machines, technology, software to be able to make the process of education, the business of education itself, very, very strongly IT enabled. So just an example of something very recent. Clearly, the commitment is huge from a country, from a government point of view, in terms of pushing, e-businesses at all levels. Having said that, doesn't mean that just because education is big business in our country, just because given our population, education is such a huge push, such a huge revenue generator, doesn't mean that it is a sure shot success, doesn't mean everyone should be jumping into it and is doing it well. We are very well aware of Baiju's and how that has gone, how that e-business, after starting out with a huge potential and a lot of promotion, we have seen how a lot of challenges have come up when it comes to their business model and their challenges with the regulations. So let's move on to discussing some of the various other elements as far as digital economy or e-businesses is concerned. Now, India is one of the fastest growing e-commerce market. As if we see, Asia is the largest e-commerce market in the world. And post-pandemic, if you see, then the online retail consumption in Asia was almost $1.7 trillion. Gives you an idea of how large Asia is as a consumer of e-businesses. Almost 40% of the global consumption is coming from Asia. Now, when it comes to how important it is from a study point of view, from a measurement point of view, even the UNCTAD, which shares so many studies, generates so many reports, in their report in 2017, they actually came out with a report of the top 100 digital MNCs in the world. We are very well aware of MNCs. We have discussed MNCs right from Saudi Aramco to Shell to Apple. But talking specifically about digital MNCs, they have come across, though Apple would probably be part of the digital and the top few, non-digital MNCs. But business of e-business is so strong that there is now a whole category of digital multinationals, which is being observed and studied all over the world. So looking just at India in 2023, we had over 65 billion internet users. It's expected that there will be 1.2 billion users by 2050. Keep in mind, this is just internet users. When we talk about telecom subscribers, then we actually have almost 1.2 billion telecom, 1.18 billion telecom subscriptions in the country. So we are our potential in terms of internet usage is so huge. Now, even though Indonesia is nowhere one of the most populous countries in the world, but Indonesia also is one of the highest users of internet, social media, etc. And that is why whenever anyone is dealing in e-business, whenever anyone is assessing e-business, then you have to keep in mind that the growth could be coming from regions where maybe not necessarily you expected it, but you have to be alert to all the potential markets which could be out there. The number of internet users, of course, is second to the number of internet users in China, because in China, the usage is far higher. And however, having said that, we are only second in line vis-a-vis China. And of course, the rate at which we are growing, we could, overtake them anytime. Now, the different types of e-businesses that are there. For example, you have business to business. Now, when we are talking about business to business, some of the examples in this category would be Alibaba, would be JioMart, would be Amazon. So these are some of the typical business to business examples that we confront in our everyday life. Then when we talk about business to consumer directly, we could have examples like a Netflix, like an Amazon Prime, your subscription-based services, which are coming directly from, it's just Netflix and me as a counterparty. When we're talking about business to business, on Amazon, when you see there is Amazon, there is the vendor which is providing, and then there is the third party, which is consumer. Whereas in business to consumer, it's pretty much direct from Netflix to me, to my home. When we're talking about consumer to consumer, here you have entities like OLX, where there is someone who's putting up, their table or bed or a wardrobe that they want to sell, and there's a consumer who is there and wanting to purchase it. In the US, you have, internationally, you have an entity called, you have a platform called Craigslist. Now, Craigslist is where people put up requirements for, room sharing, requirements for purchase, secondhand purchases, various requirements where, individual consumers put up their requirements and they are responded to by people who may be supplying that or people who want to, also join that and be looking for a roommate, etc. So a typical Craigslist would be a consumer to consumer example that one could study. Now, when we talk about C2B, which is consumer to business, then in C2B, you have surveys. Now, whenever businesses, when you go to even go to watch a movie, when you go to a PVR, let's say, to go watch a movie, or when you go to a Croma to buy an electronic product, how many times have you observed that post your purchase, you are getting an SMS or an email? How was your experience? Please give us feedback. Please rate your experience. And before you're leaving the store, probably some employee who has attended to you is telling you that, can you please go and rate us when you get those messages? Can you please put a comment if you're satisfied with my service? Can you please put a comment? Especially for the hotel industry, for the F&B industry, very often you will have someone walk up to you after you've paid your bill when you're leaving, saying, if you're happy, would you please go to TripAdvisor and rate us? So these are surveys which take feedback back to, and customer reviews, etc., back to the businesses. This is the consumer speaking to the business of their experience. And a lot of the reliability today, let's say you go to a booking.com to book a hotel, or forget booking.com, when you go to a Airbnb to book a B&B, how do you know whether you're getting into a reliable transaction with some unknown person in their home in some part of the world? You go very heavily by the reviews which are there, which are verified reviews. You go very heavily by the testimonials. So these things become the C2B side becomes very, very important in this in this age when we prefer to have word of mouth reviews rather than see critics' reviews and rather than see, you know, paid reviews, which we feel are not trustworthy. We'd much rather want to see reviews, you know, on an Amazon, you're purchasing something, you would much rather want to see reviews of other customers. So when you have businesses proactively sourcing this feedback, this review, and you get those SMSs or you get those emails, etc., that is when the reviews are going back. Then you have your social media, which is bringing back information to the businesses. You have focus groups. There are times when people will, you know, advertising agencies, market survey companies are going to bring in a focus group of consumers, do a sort of sitting with them. Very often they don't know for which product or for which company or for which industry they're having this discussion, so that an unbiased, you know, feedback can come from this focus group. So this is what your C2B is. You have your business to government entities, where it is businesses, accessing something from the government through e-business, digital sites, etc. Or, for example, you have, when you had the Aadhaar initiative, then you had TCS, supplying technology, or when you have your passport verification, etc., then also your passport application, etc., then also you have TCS and various other companies providing the software and the service. So this is your business to government versus when you have your government to business. Government to business is when you have portals, like, for example, in India, you have the FLRS portal, which is nothing but the food licensing and registration system. So here, there is a service which is provided online for certain permits, for certain registrations, etc. Then you have your government to citizen. Now, when I was telling you about, you know, portals like the ITR filing portal, or when you talk about, the government portal, or when you talk about, the vaccine, for example, when we had the whole vaccine initiative and that had to be done online, that entire portal, then that is government to citizen e-businesses, which are being provided to the citizens. And then, of course, you have your direct to customer. So I don't know how many of you follow the skincare product Mama Earth. Now, Mama Earth has a model. While you can buy Mama Earth products on a Nykaa platform also, or you can buy Mama Earth products on Amazon also, Mama Earth has its own dedicated site also. So you can buy directly from Mama Earth site also. So when you have this, then it is direct sale to the consumer. And actually, a lot of brands are choosing to do that. So likewise, when you have your if you're on Instagram, you will see a lot of health and wellness and protein based products like a Traya, and they are selling directly. While you may very well be able to buy a Traya product on Amazon or on Nykaa or various other platforms, you can very well buy Traya on directly from their site also, So this is direct to consumer. Now, another success story of direct to consumer is Carrot Lane, which sells jewelry, diamond-based jewelry in India. Now, typically, you would think that to purchase diamonds, given our traditional mindset, one would want to go to the store, assess the diamond, then buy the diamond. But Carrot Lane has become a success based on, based on the testimonials, based on the certifications they provide, based on their pricing, based on the designs they provide. And very often you will come across people who have purchased directly from Carrot Lane, even though it is a high-end item like diamond jewelry, which is involved. So when you look at different types of e-businesses, you realize that they are impacting different aspects of our life. And today, if we choose and say, I don't want to deal with e-business, you cannot wish that away. For example, during pandemic, when the vaccination had to be done, you had to take your appointments online. You had to generate your certificates online. And for people, it was challenging for people who could not do it. And so they had to seek help from other people. People helped people and it got done. But the entire system was online. So without doing that, you cannot actually, get on with your, you could not get on with your vaccination. So today, you cannot wish away e-business in your life, even if you have a traditional mindset. I don't like digital. I prefer to be offline. I prefer to go to a physical store. I prefer to deal with a human being in person. You will be able to reduce or eliminate some aspects, but there will be enough avenues where you have no choice but to do things digitally and via e-business. So looking at a little bit more detail in terms of B2B transactions are multifaceted, business nature is complex, wholesaler places and for example, when a wholesaler places an order from a company's website, so these are some of the elements of B2B. Then you have your business to consumer, and this is I go to a Flipkart or an Amazon or a Snapdeal and order directly from there, or I go to a Swiggy and order directly from there. Consumer to consumer, I told you Quikr, I told you your Craigslist, your OLX, where one can go and you have a no broker. For example, in the real estate industry, you have something called no broker, where people post their properties for sale or rental, and people who have the requirement come in. Now, of course, when you go to no broker, there are premium packages and paid packages where then the third party, which is no broker, their employees come into the picture. However, if you're not subscribing to one of those premium packages or those paid packages, then it's pretty much you posting your property without having to, have any employee coordinated for you. And you hopefully will get responses from prospective buyers and renters for your property. Consumers to business. Here, the feedback that is given, which is, which could be it could be for, through focus groups, it could be for through social media, etc. A lot of the websites that people go to, they want to see, what is there, how reliable are there. So, for example, if I'm going for insurance, which is very, very useful, from a medical point of view, from a travel point of view, then I want to see what are the reviews, what are the testimonials, take all of this information into account and then purchase from probably one of these sites. Now, business to government is websites which are these are websites which are used by the government to trade, exchange information, and provide a mechanism for businesses to submit application forms, etc., to the government, as we have discussed in certain examples. Now, these are typically government to business are non-commercial interaction between local and central governments. Advice on e-commerce, the commercial business sector will provide business information and advice on e-business best practices, etc. So they support auctions, tenders, application submissions, etc. This gives you some more insight into G2B. Government to citizen, as I said, if you want to apply for certain certifications, registration of birth, marriage certificate, ITR, etc., then vaccinations, etc., then this is from government to citizen, which is now very, very active in India. A lot of things cannot be replicated offline. It is mandatory that you do those online only. So in a lot of cases, we would see that, our parents or people of the older generation who are not very comfortable with doing things online, we have to go and help them out. Or our staff, you know, domestic staff, or our other support staff who are not very comfortable doing all of this, managing online, using these sites, then they don't have a choice but to get someone to help them and work through those sites. So during the pandemic, I think practically everyone was helping their support staff, their domestic staff, do those online transactions where, you know, for their vaccination and other elements, certificate generation and such activities. So in a lot of cases, there is no option but to get online and conduct your business that is required. Now, in direct to consumer here, the company is actually saving on the cost of the middleman. Here, the company, they have different ways of, delivering your product to the consumer. They have, some of them have in-house courier facilities. Some of them have tie-ups with courier, logistics courier firms. And and that is how it is delivered to the consumer. So here, clearly, they are cutting out the middleman. They are cutting out the commission that is paid to the middle person. Now, when you're purchasing something on Amazon, you would have to pay, the seller would have to pay, some sort of fee or some sort of revenue share with the with Amazon. Likewise, if I'm buying a Mamaearth product on Nykaa, there would be some sort of revenue share arrangement between Nykaa and Mamaearth, right? Likewise, now there is the Tira site. So if I'm buying a beauty product on Tira, then there would be some sort of revenue arrangement between the company whose product I'm buying and Tira. Whereas if I directly go to the Mamaearth site and buy from their site, then there is no middleman, there is no commission. The only thing is me paying Mamaearth. Mamaearth has to manage its cost of delivery, their courier, etc. But other than that, there is no other revenue share which is happening with any third party. Lot of organizations today, because technology has taken off in such a way, and it is no longer difficult to set up your own website. It is no longer difficult to have a mechanism where there is security in terms of payments, there is security in terms of confidentiality, etc., of data. It is no longer that difficult. So a lot of companies are choosing to go direct to consumer rather than via another entity. A lot of them may choose to be available on other platforms like Amazon and Nykaa, etc., but their main focus would be on their own sites, because today it is technologically economical to do that. It is not difficult to do that. With 4G and 5G in the country, you know, we are not living in an age where sites hang. You know, there was a time when individual sites would hang very badly and would not operate very well. Today, if you have taken basic care and got skilled experts to set up things for you or done it yourself in a very efficient manner, then most of these sites work very seamlessly, hence it is quite beneficial for a lot of direct to consumer entities to use that approach via going through a third party entity.